From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Residents from across the state voiced their opposition to the relicensing of four Kennebec River dams at a public hearing in Augusta today. More than 50 people gathered at the Augusta Civic Center, and the vast majority of speakers urged the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission staff to reconsider their recommendation in favor of relicensing. Bill Wallace from Minot says the dams are a danger to migratory fish and don't provide very much hydroelectric power.
We urge you to not relicense these four Brookfield Energy dams. Help us be good stewards for these splendid fish. They're depending on us. In this age of abundant renewable solar and wind energy, we don't need these four old, outdated, environmentally harmful dams.
Other speakers echoed similar points, saying the commission needs to enforce stricter protections for migrating fish and seriously consider removing the dams entirely. Another Maine nursing home is closing. The operators of the Narragansett Bay Healthcare in Millbridge have confirmed it will close on July 22nd. That leaves families of 46 patients who rely on the facility to scramble to find another place to care for their loved ones. Samantha Jones says she just moved her father into Narragansett Bay 10 weeks ago after his previous nursing facility closed.
So it's become quite a scramble, and it's getting harder and harder. We live in the oldest state in the nation, and it doesn't seem right that there is no support for this community that has raised us and that we're going to become.
Maine's long-term care ombudsman is helping to find other placements for the 46 residents. According to the Maine Healthcare Association, 25 nursing homes have closed in Maine over the past decade. The Select Board for Wells announced Tuesday night the town will file an amicus brief that supports plaintiffs in a lawsuit that seeks to expand public access at Moody Beach. Select Board Chair John McLeod says officials have become aware of rising tensions between private beachfront homeowners and the public. The lawsuit challenges current Maine law, which extends property rights to the low tide line. The only exceptions are for fishing, fowling, and navigation.
The board plans to argue that the public trust rights on Moody Beach should not be limited to fishing, fowling, and navigation, but should instead include some forms of recreational activity.
Proponents of public beach use have been urging town officials to protect access. Several spoke at Tuesday night's meeting, including some who say private owners yell at them when they walk on the beach. Some homeowners, meanwhile, say there are several other public beaches in the area that people can use. The University of Maine Augusta held its first post-pandemic graduation ceremony this week at the Maine State Prison in Warren. 21 men were recognized with associate and bachelor degrees in liberal studies. And as Susan Sharon reports, the graduates and their friends and family say the prison education program has changed their lives.
It's not easy to study in prison between the noise and disruptions and general environment. So taking and completing classes and then graduating with a degree behind bars takes more than a little perseverance. That's how Daniel McLoyne, director of UMA's Prison Education Partnership, described it in his opening remarks to the class of 2024.
Your continuous efforts, your ongoing striving, your choice to show up every day and do your best to achieve in service of yourselves and of each other are what give this program the vitality, the depth, and any incredible outcomes that it can boast of.
Research shows that education in prison reduces recidivism. But for students who may never have completed high school or who struggled to learn, it does something else. Henry Gay says it gave him confidence and a new outlook on life.
I find myself today with more discipline for myself, as well as I look at everything that comes up in a positive way. I don't let it bring me down anymore. Life continues. And I'm thankful that with this education, that has happened for me.
In his previous life, Gay says he was a procrastinator and a skeptic, someone who didn't see how a college education could benefit him, especially since he wouldn't be released from prison until he was nearly 60 years old. But he says a fellow prisoner convinced him to give one semester or even one class a try. And he says he did struggle with math.
I don't know how many times I raised my hand in that class. Could you please re-explain that? Because my brain just wasn't putting those equations together.
Gay credits his UMA math teacher and a fellow classmate with helping him finally see the light and make the breakthrough he needed. Patrice Woods, the fiance of graduate Kayshawn McLaughlin, says he's open to new and positive things, like starting a business when he gets out next year. His education has been transformative, she says.
He talks my ear off about every single thing. He gives me a history lesson, science lesson, math lesson, everything. So, I mean, it helps us both, and I'm happy that he's excited about, you know, something good out of all of this.
Prison education is made available through the support of the Sunshine Lady Foundation and other organizations, but prisoners still have to pay for their books, for example, says Phyllis White, the fiance of graduate Jeff Taylor.
And thank God that there are programs out there that they can tap into and be able to, you know, further their education.
White says Taylor received an associate's degree but plans to go on for his bachelor's next. And Henry Gay, who almost gave up on that math class he started, he's graduating magna cum laude with a bachelor's degree and plans to pursue a career in mental health. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Joan Benoit Samuelson rose to international fame in the 80s. The Cape Elizabeth native won gold in the first ever women's Olympic marathon. On Tuesday, the Maine Historical Society awarded her with its Maine History Maker Award at a ceremony in Freeport. Nick Song has more.
Wearing a Bowdoin singlet and a backwards Red Sox cap, Joan Benoit Samuelson entered the national zeitgeist when she won the 1979 Boston Marathon as a relative unknown. Back then, Benoit Samuelson says many doubted whether women could even run 26.2 miles, let alone at the highest levels of competition.
Before 1984, the longest distance a woman could run was the 1,500 meters, because the so-called experts in sport thought women would do bodily harm and never go on to bear children.
That all changed at the 84 Los Angeles Summer Olympics, which held the first ever Olympic women's marathon. 2.5 weeks before the U.S. Olympic trials, Benoit Samuelson underwent knee surgery, which threatened to end her run before it even started. But she pushed through and made it to race day.
I remember getting close to the Coliseum and then entering the tunnel that led into the Coliseum. And I was in that darkness for a very, very short time. And all of a sudden I realized that I might win the first women's Olympic marathon.
She has done it. Joan Benoit, the winner of the first ever Olympic women's marathon.
It wasn't just that Joan won. It's that she won it in style. 14 minutes into the race, she pulled ahead from the pack and never let up her lead. She finished the race with then the third best time ever run by a woman. Instantly, Benoit Samuelson became an icon, her accomplishments helping legitimize women's athletics as millions looked on. This year marks the 40th anniversary of her victory.
Well, I think women's sports have increased in popularity and in participants just significantly over the last several decades.
Over a long career, Benoit Samuelson set multiple world records and collected wins at major marathons. And while winning gold made her world famous, Joanna Wigg says Benoit Samuelson became a legend in Maine for remaining true to her roots and never abandoning her home state.
She just set an example that blew the norm out of the water, and I think she's continued to do that throughout her life. She's a great role model.
In 1997, Benoit Samuelson founded the iconic Beach to Beacon Road Race, run annually in her hometown of Cape Elizabeth. Today, the 10K is the most iconic race in the state and raises over $30,000 each year for Maine charities. She can often be seen cheering on her neighbors at the race's finish line. But don't let the label of history maker fool you. Benoit Samuelson is still running today. Just this March, she finished the Tokyo Marathon, her final remaining world marathon major needed to complete the set.
I was going to end my career in 2008 at the Olympic Marathon trials in Boston. I was 50 at the time and thought, what a place to end a career in an Olympic trial where I started my career. And I just am still passionate about the sport.
Her story continues to inspire, especially to young women like Joanna Wigg's daughter, Estella.
I want to ask her how she felt after the gold medal race, because I feel really good after I race, so I was wondering.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us for Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.